astonished. For you have chosen to dwell in Zion. For this indeed is your resting place. As we, your people, gather here this morning to hear from you, I duck under the covering of myself, spiritual fathers, and ask for fresh mercy and grace and the help of the Holy Spirit to help me to share and to bring a word in season. I receive grace and mercy to help to speak as an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of the word things both new and old, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, let it go forth in simplicity, let it go forth in accuracy, to break yokes in our lives, because need to mend, to cause our eyes to be opened, to have an understanding of times and seasons that we are living in, and what we ought to do, and the grace to do the same. Help us to redeem time, not to say things that are unnecessary. Cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to be enlightened with the revelation that comes from your word today, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we come to thank you for all you do today. Lord, just thank you for your grace to accomplish your work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, that I set up my right hand, come and glorify Jesus. Come and testify of him as you go into your word this evening in Jesus' name. And one of the things that Pastor and Mommy have been declaring recently, it's been joining Good Morning Jesus prayers. So the title of my message this evening is When the Lord Turned the Captivity of Zion. Let's say it together. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion. The word when speaks about the timing. So we're going to be looking at the timing of when God is going to turn our captivity, or the captivity of Zion, the perfect church. That when speaks about this psalm, Mommy has been quoting and praying for some time on Good Morning Jesus, talking about this season we are in. And as she's declared already that this year is the evening of a new decade that's going to start from 2020 next year. And we, God's people, need to be alert and to have an understanding of the times and the seasons, and what we ought to do is very important. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So we'll have an understanding of times and seasons and what Israel ought to do. Praise the Lord. So let's open my Bible, book of Psalms 126, and we'll read from verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. So let's read after me. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Let's read together, please. Then was our mouth filled with what? Laughter. And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the hidden, the Lord had done great things for them. The Lord had done great things for us, whereof we are what? Glad. Let's read together, please. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. For they that sow in tears shall reap in what? Joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing what? Precious seed. Say precious seed. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing what? His sheaves with him. Let's put that first verse in the Amplified Bible. King James says that when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, he said, we were like them that dreams. That is, it was unbelievable. Let's read what he says in Amplified. When the Lord brought back what? The captives who what? Returned to Zion. We were like what? Those who dream. It seems so unreal. You see, God has brought his church, the bride of Christ, into a season in which is going to turn our captivity. You see, that word captivity, I don't believe that Zion is not in captivity. I'm going to explain as I continue. Are you following me? Zion is not in captivity. We are in a cocoon, which seems like a captivity. You see, like, you know, a captivity is what restrains you, an enclosed place. Are you following me? So it says that when God, King James says, when Lord brought back the captive of Zion, in the Amplified, it says, when the Lord brought back the captives who returned to Zion. This was talking about when they were released and, you know, and they went back in the natural. But see, here it says that the people of God returned to Zion. This speaks about those that follow on to know the Lord. That is, they returned from, they decided in their hearts that they will move from spiritual immaturity and move on to Zion, which is the perfection and the fullness of Christ. And I put in my notes, I said, God is about to turn the captivity of Zion suddenly. You see, the reason why it looked like a dream was it was so unreal. It happened suddenly. The Bible says that the Lord whom you seek shall come, how? Suddenly, into his temple. You see, many are not expecting him again to come. We're going to see. But see, this thing that happened there, the psalmist wrote, it happened what? Suddenly. Say suddenly. Our God is a God of what? Suddenly. The Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 verses 1 to 2. Say the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly what? It's not just going to come. It will be a surprise to many, those that are not prepared.
And the Bible says, who shall stand when he appeareth? That's like a refiner's fire and a purifier of silver. It shall purify the sons of Levi, silver and gold, that they may offer up an offering to God in what? Righteousness. That's something about the book. Help me, Holy Spirit. Isaiah 48, verse 3. Our God is a God of suddenlies. Say, our God is a God of what? Suddenlies. It is a season of restoration, like mommy said. It is a season of suddenlies. You see, when Paul woke up the morning he was converted, he didn't know. He did not know that God had other plans for his life. As he was going to Damascus, as you know, put it, just leave it in Isaiah 43, we're going to read. And the Bible says, suddenly, a light shone about him. And God said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the next he said, Lord. And somebody said, how did he know it was Lord? But see, when I was meeting on scriptures recently, and God was trying to show them the kind of people that are coming in this end time. So we cannot allow our hands to be slack. The Bible says that he was blind for 3 days. And it was in a street called Straight. Very prophetic, but I won't go there. But it's a straight and narrow is the way that leads to what? The kingdom. And it was there. So God sent someone, a type of the apostolic ministry, Ananias, to go and what? Lay hands on him that he might receive his sight. Now, God gave him a word, which I'm asking myself today. That if God were to give us, can we receive that word? This guy is born again. 3 weeks, 3 days born again. Let's assume that Ananias got there on the fourth day. At least wasn't more than a week. And as God told him, he said, go and tell him the things he's going to suffer for my name's sake. He's going to bear my name before the Gentiles. He was a spiritual babe. He wasn't a spiritual babe in sense that he had understanding of the law of Moses. But how many of us in this day can endure or receive that kind of, you get born again today and you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and they declare unto you that, look, you are going to suffer many things for my name, for his name's sake, his character. And he kept on throughout the ministry, he kept on saying that bonds that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city I go to, that bonds and afflictions await me. And he said, none of these things move me, that I might finish my course with joy. You see, what am I saying? There is a company of people out there today that are yet to be born again, that when they enter, our story will not be the last, shall be the first. And the first shall be the last. What am I saying? God is trying to waken us up. To ginger us up. So you can run like Elijah ran before the horse of Ahab. Ahab could not chase him, could not catch him. You know that story. So what does this say? Isaiah 48 verse 23. Verse 3, sorry, there's no verse. Isaiah 48 verse 3, what does it say? I have declared the former things. Let's read together, please. I have declared the former things from what? The beginning. And they went forth out of my mouth. Out of my mouth. Out of my mouth. And I showed them. And I did them what? And I did them what? Are we here today? And I did them what? And I did them what? And it what? Did what? Came to pass. God is saying here to us that I declare the former things from the beginning. And they went forth out of my mouth. I said what? I showed them and I did them what? Suddenly. What is God trying to tell us? You see, this captive that God is about to turn around is going to be a suddenly in the body of Christ. In this season we are in, it's a season of restoration. That's what this old psalm is about as we continue to read. And there are things which you understand as we go on. There are three things that happen when that suddenly occurs. Are you following me? And then how are we going to experience or be part of that suddenly? The Lord will help me as I continue. So you find out, but I said that I've declared that it came out of my mouth. Anytime we read the Bible, and the Bible usually speaks about mouth, it's talking about the prophetic ministry. They are the mouthpiece of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19, put in amplified. So when God was talking to Jeremiah, he told him, he said, when you learn to remove the vile from the precious, then you'll be my mouth. So he said, when God says he has declared it from his mouth, you see, the mouth of the Lord to the body of Christ today is the apostolic and the prophetic ministry, the sons of Issachar, that declare the prophetic word and point a finger and say, go ye up northward. So that the church of Christ can receive what? Clear-cut instructions and directions concerning what God is about to do. I find that God says that it's good to declare. That is, God has said it. And people have been waiting and then he said he will do it suddenly. Let's read. Therefore, thus said the Lord towards Jeremiah. No, he was a prophet. If you what? Return. Those are returned to Zion. And give up what? this mistaken tone of distrust. You know, indeed, natural, Jeremiah was afraid that they will kill him and despair. And I will give you what? Again, a settled place of quiet and safety. And you will what? Be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you shall be what? My mouthpiece. But do not yield to them. Let them return to you, not you to the people. That is prophetic ministry. They declare where God is going to and they move on. They plow the ground. They don't have time to waste. You see, because if you are to listen to what the Word of Christ does, a lot of people would want to move. That's why we say that each time you read the Bible, you say that they will remove from. You see, it's very easy for the people of God to get stuck in a rut. They won't want to move. So the prophetic comes and begins to uproot them. Are you following me? That, oh yeah, move. That is where God is moving to. Praise the Lord. So what am I saying? We are in that season in which God is raising up the prophetic ministry and the apostolic ministry, and they are bringing a clear message. They are making a distinct sound to get God's people ready, because we have already entered the last jubilee cycle of the purpose of God for the church. And next year is going to be a critical year. So God wants us to be ready and to be prepared. And one way to hear the prophetic voice. You see, also unfortunately, not talking as Lord is helping me. If you read the book of, I think, Luke, in the Gospels, Lord Jesus was talking about the prophetic and apostolic ministry. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I've gathered you when the season of ingathering, and a lot of don't want to be gathered. He said, you stone your prophets, and what? Them that are sent to you. Two people, the prophetic and the apostolic, those are the ones that are sent to you. He said, how often I've gathered you together. It's only a season of ingathering, Karamakus, that I gather people. He said, but you will not allow me. So they are proclaiming liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison door to them that are bound. So as you all know, Zion, as we've been taught, speaks of the perfect church that comprises of what? The mature perfect leadership and a fully submitted or totally submitted followership. So you'll be wondering, I'm not yet perfect. But the key that God is asking is this. Locate the mature perfect leadership. And then you what? Totally submit to them with a heart attitude of humility. And then you obey their instructions. That's how you know that you have returned to Zion. Then you have positioned yourself for your captivity to be done. Praise the Lord. So like I said, Zion has been in a cocoon of spiritual growth unto maturity, in which you have been what? Using the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus to overcome the law of sin and death. That is where we have been all these years. And you know what? We have entered the season in which God will break the cocoon that the butterfly can emerge. So we've been in that cocoon for a long time. The upper room of the perfection of love of God is the same thing. Joseph types and shadows to explain it. That place that seems as if you have been inactive. The silent years of Nazareth, in which you've been using the washing of the water by the word. It's a cocoon. It's a place of restriction. So in a way, it's like a captivity. You've not been allowed to do a lot of things you want to do. Are you following me? Yes, like the others are doing. So it's that cocoon. But see, what has been happening is this. Those that are in that place, what they have been doing is this. They have been using the blood, the word, and the spirit. Are you following me? They use the law of the spirit of life because just to overcome what? The law of sin and death. There is that law of sin and death that seeks to bring them captive. So they've been practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing, and God's about to break that cocoon. How they can imagine. Put it in the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 23 to put the scripture behind it. You see, what keeps us captive, or what brings men captive, is the sin nature. When you got born again, God removed the sin nature totally from your spirit. But you still have residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. So when I say that those that God brought the captivity of them that returned to Zion, he's talking about that made up. You see, Babylon, as we've been taught, is what holds God's children in spiritual immaturity. So when you return to Zion, what you have done is this. You have made up your mind that you are going to the heights of Zion. That is to conform to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does Romans chapter 7 verse 23 say? Let's go there. But I see another. This is Paul the apostle talking. Say, but I see another law in my where? Members. Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into what? Captivity. To the law of sin which is in my members. So in this cocoon, that is what has been going on. They've been using the blood, the word, and the spirit to remove, the cleanse the sin nature. Are you following me? Under this perfect leadership. Are you following me? So, it's likened again to the book of Genesis. When the Bible talks about the ark of Noah. In the ark of Noah, I know there were 8 people that came out. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives, making 8 of them. That's why I said, yes, there will be a new beginnings for the body of Christ. But see, when they were in that ark, which is deemed as the ark of love, where the perfect love of God, you know, it must have taken great love for them to stay in the same place for 40 days and 40 nights. With all the animals, you can imagine the natural world will be going on. Maybe you are trying to sleep, and that's when the lion will desire to roar and wake everybody up. Are you following me? The spider and all the cockroaches, all kinds of stuff were inside. But it's that they had to feed them. They had to suffer a bit of inconvenience. Much convenience. Like somebody said some years ago. Too much religion will enter the kingdom. Somebody said some years ago. He said, if not for the flood that is on the outside, he couldn't stand the stench that was inside the ark. All the poo poo, all the things, animal dung, everything was there. But you see, you want to compare what is going on in the ark to the flood that is drowning people outside. Are you following me? So, you know, what I'm trying to say is this. Genesis chapter 7, verse 6, to save time. It was the Lord God that shut the door of the ark. Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. It was God himself. After they had entered, God shut the door, which God has done for some time now. He shut the verse. God shut what? Amen. Shut Noah in and his sons and his wife's children. And the Bible says that it was in Genesis chapter 8, verse 16. Then it was Noah, as I mentioned, it was Noah that opened the window of the ark. Are you following me? God shut them in. But Noah opened the window. Very significant. But in Genesis chapter 8, verse 16, God now speaks to them and says, go forth out of the ark. What is that telling us? Noah was a son of Issachar, so to speak. He knew the time, but he didn't know this. He knew the season, times and seasons, but not know the day or the hour. He understood the time, so he opened the door of the ark. The window of the ark. Then, later on, God now said, oh yeah, come out. So that is where we are now. The window of the ark has been opened, but we must wait. Because what? He first of all sent the raven. He never came back. A lot of ravens have gone out today, and they're not coming back. The raven must first of all go out. Why did the raven go and didn't come back? Because all the while he was there, he never developed his character. But he sent out the dove, a type of the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. He went, you know, he came back, then he went again, bought an olive tree block, something like that, and then he brought it back. Then after that, notice, Noah didn't go out. It was God in Genesis chapter 8, verse 16, that said, go forth of the ark. Thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. What am I saying? Noah opened the window, which speaks of understanding the times and the seasons, but did not know the day or the hour. That window has been opened. That's why Pastor Amon have been preaching, screaming on top of their voices. That cast off works of darkness. The night is fast spent. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. But they don't know the day or the hour. But the window of the ark has been opened. Are you following me? So, what is going to happen now? That window of opportunity, thank you, sir, that God has opened for everybody, is before God now speaks and says, go out of the ark. Make sure you have your garments. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? I said it earlier on. I said, God wants us to know when. And when you see when, there's a scripture, I can't remember the Psalms. It was talking about they were lamenting. He said that there's no more prophet to tell us when. That is the office of the prophetic ministry. They tell you the when. And then the apostle comes and prepares you and tells you the how. Praise the Lord. So, God wants us to know. Say God wants us to know the when. The when speaks about what. Say what to expect. What to expect, brethren. The when speaks of what to expect and the what? The timing. Those two things. Say what to expect and the timing. Praise the Lord. Please, let's flow together. I need the help of the Holy Spirit. So what is this talking about? You know, we read, he said that when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. He began to describe what to expect when God turns that captivity. He said we are like them that dream. Then he said the second, he said we are like, then was our mouth filled with laughter. Then he said the heathen. Now he said the Lord has done great things for them. So three things we can see there. He said, when did God turned that captivity? He said, well, like them that say one dream. Then the second happened that our mouths were filled with laughter. And then the third thing was that the heathen now that had been mocking before. I said, God has done great things for them. So let's look at it slowly as we continue. What does this speak of? What to expect? I put it here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read together. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has what? Prepared for them that love him. That is what we are expecting. It is difficult to describe it. The master said, the works that I do, you will do and greater. That is why they looked at them that dream. But shame me, I can raise the dead after 4 days. You know, things that you cannot imagine. Say, but like them that dream. That is number one. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. He said, God is able to do. When we read these things, we don't understand because we have not experienced it before. So God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So this goes beyond your thinking, whatever you can imagine or what you can ask for. That is what God is about to do. That's why he says, suddenly, it's a surprise. You see, if you start today, that is hiding from the Sanhedrin, the next verse stands and preaches boldly to 3,000 people. The same Peter, overnight. You see, that's why he says, suddenly. Let me give an example. I got an alert, I think 3 days ago, praise the Lord. But nobody knew. It was a sudden, I just, praise God. Nobody knew, but I knew. That is how it's going to be. It will happen suddenly. You just know, something has come upon you. Every other person may not know. But see, everybody that is under that ministry, working in the same place, will get the same alert. You get what I'm trying to say? I'm using a natural illustration to show a spiritual something. That if you are in Zion at that time, when the anointing comes on the head, it's going to flow down to the rest of the body. And if you're in that body properly aligned, you get your alert. But if you are not there, you will know. So everybody just be, Pastor, did you get, yes, praise God, oh, thank God. Did you get that simple illustration? That's how it's going to be. Let's look at those that dream. You know, what are those that dreams? We are about to manifest the incredible. So we'll take an example. Look at the life of Peter. In Acts chapter 12, verse 4. I am on the read. He talks about when Herod had taken James and Peter and he put them in prison. So he had already killed James. And he was like, there's no hope for Peter again. If he could kill James and God did not stop him, then Peter, you're finished. So it was an impossibility. Because they put him between four quaternions. Now let's read. We are talking about them that dream. So I don't know what you've been going through. What has kept you in bondage or captive all these years? He is going to send an angel. He has already sent an angel. I follow me. You can see it as the angel of Philadelphia Church or the angel that, you know, spiritual beings. But it's going to send an angel to that prison and to set you free. And the Bible says that what? Peter did not believe it. He said when he came out, I must be having a vision. As far as was concerned, he would have preferred to ask for a piece of paper and a Bible. Let me write my will. Okay, give this one for me. Give that one for me. Because I already killed James. So that was like them that dream. Let's read from Acts 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, we are supposed to apprehend Christ. Satan comes to apprehend this guy. And he put him where in prison, captivity. I delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Next verse. Peter therefore was kept in prison, and prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him, or unto God for him. It's very important. We'll talk about praying without ceasing later. I for the master, would you pray without ceasing? And when Peter therefore was, please, let's take this thing slowly. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Next verse. Next verse, please. Lord, have mercy on me. Next verse, please. 12:7. And behold, the angel of the Lord did what? Came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains, what? Fell off from his hands. Do I think that kept him captive? Next verse. And the angel said unto him, Say, guard thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast forth thy garment about thee, and follow me. That means at this time, Peter, speaking prophetically, was not putting on the armor of God. The sandals were not there. The garment was not there. Are you following me? What else was not there? The sandals was not there. His speech was not sure with preparation of the gospel of peace. So God has to send an angel, which he has sent to us. That Peter, for you to leave this prison, you must put on the whole armor of God. That's what God is trying to tell us. He said, and the angel said unto him, guard thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He was obedient. And said to him, cast what thy garment about thee, and follow me. If you notice Peter, even after the master resurrected, and they called them, they went to go and fish. He already moved. The Bible says he was naked. May not be naked in the day of our visitation. Praise the Lord. Next verse. And he said, follow me, that he become like me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. That is, when you begin to obey the instructions of this angel, things will begin to happen in your life. I look at them, I dream. This thing that has kept me bound, that is supposed to, I see Bible says that may lose that are appointed unto death, that has been destined to kill by a type of Satan, Herod. When you start putting on the armor, obeying the instructions of the angel, all those chains will fall off. And wist not that was true, which was done by the angel. But thought he saw a vision. Message Bible said that he thought that he was dreaming. So we are like them that dream. But he turned a captive before our very eyes. The second thing is that this. He said, our mouth was what? Filled with laughter. Look at Sarah. It was an impossible situation. Absolutely impossible in the natural. But because of time, let's read Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. God had given a promise when Abraham was 75. 20 years, nothing has happened. But the 25th year, suddenly, God appeared and told him, and said, Sarah, Abraham, according to the time of life, I will visit you, and Sarah will have a son. In 1 year, Sarah laughed. How can you be saying this? Why are you making fun of me? If it had happened some 20 years ago, I would have said it's okay. Now my womb is dry. There's nothing again to carry any baby. Abraham just looked at his body at that time. God, where are you going? What do you want to do now? Like pastor has taught, I don't want to waste time. Let's just read. But see, God is faithful to fulfill his promises. It depends on, you know, when they brought that boy to him, epilepsy, but the father said, if you can help me. He said, all things are possible to him that believeth. What are you willing to believe God for? What seems to have gone? Totally gone. That you cannot stand in faith. You see, you have nothing to lose to believe God. How would you have nothing to lose? And trust God. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. If it happens, it's a plus for you. But you can believe God for it. I say, only believe. Say, all things are possible to him that believeth. Say, only believe. I want to tell something. Go and look at the Hebrews chapter 11. All the guys that were there, they say, and by faith, he did this. And by faith, he did this. Gideon. By faith? Jephthah, by faith? Moses, by faith? What Abraham said, none of them was perfect. Abraham, by faith? Samson, by faith? And yet, you know what God is telling us? I'm the one that makes the difference. Like Captain Coleman said something. He said, God is not looking for perfect vessels, but yielded vessels. I can't do it, but you can do it. Be like Ezekiel. He says, at this point, he said, God, now you shall be God. This one can't. So let's go to Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. Help me, Lord. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years old. Next verse. And the thing was very grievous. What? Oh my God, have mercy on me. Why are you guys? Why? What's happening tonight? Please, Genesis chapter 21, verse 5. Why jump to verse 11? 6, please. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God had what? Made me to laugh. So that all that what? Here. Shall what? Will laugh with me. So that those that hear the things that God will do to us in this end time shall laugh with us. I said, now was our mouth filled with laughter. You know, when he appeared, you see, when he turns our captivity, we are going to be like them that laugh. Think about the greatest problem that you are undergoing. When that thing is turned, you are going to laugh. Like he told Mary, say, that only thing that is in you shall be called the Son of God. What are we saying prophetically? There are two sides to it. If you look at it in natural, these are promises that are dead, personal promises. But the promise is you shall give birth to the Christ. That is the promise. The child of promise. The one that sits in heavens and laughs. They're going to give birth to the Christ. Like Papa Raph said years ago, he said Mary was holding a deliverer. She didn't know. Your deliverance is from within. The kingdom of God is from within. So we are going to give birth to the Christ life. The Christ himself. In perfection and fullness. And carry the same glory. That is why you look at yourself. Me? Can these bones live again? God said, no, prophesy! Say to the dry bones. Praise the Lord. That's what we're expecting. Verse 7. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. That is what we're expecting. That is why it says, suddenly, people have seen, they must have been watching Abraham and Sarah. Oh, we are father of many nations. Father of many nations. But when God came suddenly on the scene, they didn't know. It wasn't an announcement to the public. Just like Zechariah 2. That's why you have to get into intimacy with God. The angel came suddenly when Zechariah was standing the order of his course, according to the order of Abia. And he said, so and so and so could happen. It was a suddenly for them. So they didn't know. So when I seen Sarah storming, get bigger and bigger. This woman, you are putting on weight. This obesity. Because they won't believe whatever happened. Until Sarah gave birth to the child of promise. We know what the child of promise is. Don't have to go there. I'm talking about the manifestation of the glory of God. But I say, though it tarry, wait for it. For it shall eat that shall come, shall surely come. I will not tarry. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to be saved of the soul. Then also applies to any other promise in your life that looks dead. If God has spoken to you, you are going to finance the kingdom with this end time, it's going to come alive. Yes. It's going to come alive. Joseph's dreams look like they had died. But one day God resurrected them. Now the latter thing is going to do, we've spoken about like them that dream and fill our mouths with laughter, is that going to shut the mouth of the adversaries. Habakkuk 2 chapter 20, let the heart keep silence. The Lord is the holy temple. Let the all the heart keep silence. So all those people that have been mocking and laughing at you, that have been saying, we told them, he said he believes I can be like Jesus. Kuti ya money won, kuto ma be like Peter. It's Jesus gong 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 ulu kukuru. Because they don't have an understanding of their purpose and destiny. Paul said that I might apprehend the purpose for it have been apprehended. So God is going to shut the mouth of the skeptics, the adversaries. And there are two. See after me, the hidden and the scoffers. He didn't speak about the unbelievers. Joel chapter 2 verse 17. Because if you look in that psalm that we read, there are the ones that said, he says that, now the hidden said that the Lord has done great things among them. Before then, they were not saying that like they are not saying today. But when this thing happens, they are going to change what they've been saying. Like the sons of the prophets that did not follow Elisha when he was following Elijah. They are watching for what will happen. But when he suddenly appeared, and he appeared on the scene, they all bowed to him. Getting out of myself. That's why he said in the book of Revelation chapter 3. He said to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, write these things. So I set an open door before you. That is, how can they open the door when you're not enclosed in something? That's why the cocoon is about to be broken. Say, and those of the synagogue of Satan shall come to worship before your feet. Say, getting enclosed is my spouse and my sister. He said, I wake all north wind and so blow upon my God. That what? Despises me. Let loose the captivity. Joel 2:17. The heathen. Two sets of people. Joel 2:17. Say, let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they who didn't say among these people, where is thy God? Some of the things that happen to us, people will be saying, where is your God? I thought you were born again. Even those that are not born again, they're enjoying these benefits. That's what they are saying. But when this captivity is torn, this is the thing that will happen. These same people will swallow their words. And they're going to say, the Lord has done what? Great things for them. Verse 3 of that psalm says that the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Let's look at this cover. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter 3, 3. Where he was talking, Peter was talking, he said, mind you, he says, knowing this first. You see, the heathen there speaks about those that are not born again. On one section. You have those in the body of Christ that are born again, but like the sons of the prophets that don't believe that Elijah can ever get a double portion. As far as they are concerned, they are content with what Elijah had. But the question I want to ask is this. How did Elijah know that the double portion was available? We are following on. That's the only way. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing. He must have heard. Are you following me? That this thing is possible. If you notice the Old Testament, when the people want to die, Jacob, you call his children, start telling them, he said, this is going to happen. Because we were following afar off, they could not hear that it was available. So it says, knowing this for that there shall come in the last days, coffers walking after their own laws, talking about Christians. Next verse. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Next verse. For these they willingly are ignorant of that, or ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Let's leave that. It's something we have never seen before. So God wants to prepare our minds for it. It had never rained before the time of Noah. So we don't have an excuse. But God said it's going to rain for 40 days. I've not believed God. Your children may not believe, but they obeyed the instruction of their father and they entered the ark. Because it was Noah that God spoke to, not the children. It's not everything that God will come and tell you to test your obedience. He will tell those who are putting authority over you. Then how do you get a check? You have a witness if your heart is right. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 66 verse 5. Isaiah 66 verse 5. What does it say? Let's just read. We are talking about the scoffers. They're going to chew back their words. Say, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, brethren, that cast you out of my namesake character, and said, let the Lord be glorified. But what he shall what? Appear to your joy. And they shall be what? Ashamed. Let not the heathen say, where is our God? And God is saying, my people shall never be ashamed. So we look at verses 4 to 6 in Psalms 126 verse 4. We've looked at what will happen. We'll be like them that dream. God will fill our mouths with laughter. And then the adversaries, the ones that have been laughing at us, they will change what they've been saying. They say, God has done great things for us. And then in verse 3, it says, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That's why he says, book of Joel. He said, be ye glad therefore, children of Zion. For the Lord has given unto you this former rain moderately. But it's going to cause to come down to the former and latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat. And the fast shall overflow with corn, wine, and oil. It's a time of gladness. We are eating plenty. And you shall be satisfied. And my people will never be ashamed. He's not talking about eating physical food. Feast of fat things. Wines only. Pristine revelation knowledge about your purpose, why you are born, that this is what you have to do. All those things that we're talking about that have been finding impossible to believe. God said, okay, now this is the time. Like he gave Jacob a dream. Suddenly he said, don't worry. Put this populace like this. Impossible dream. Joseph, same thing. God is showing us things to come. So verse 4, what does he say? Let's read verse 4 of Psalm 136. Say, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. So he began to describe what it looks like. I checked some time ago when mom was praying. I was just unconsciously led by the Spirit of God. And I saw an article about this particular verse that late Derek Prince, one of his spiritual prayer fathers, wrote. And he put it there. Put it in Amplified, verse 4. You see, verses 4 to 6 begins to describe what you and I should be doing now to experience verses 1 to 3. Are you with me? So let's see. Are you with me? Let's together. Say, turn to freedom, our captivity, and restore our what? Fortunes. Oh Lord, as it were the streams of the south, the Negev, are restored by the torrents. You see, what you see here that he's talking about the riverbeds in the desert called Negev. In Israel, you see that this riverbeds that is talking about it speaks of those that are returned to Zion. What you are experiencing, what we are experiencing on this riverbed, in this particular Negev desert, this stream that is talking about, it's a dry place. Usually, these riverbeds are dry riverbeds. When you look at it, you see the evidence that there has been rainfall. And water has flowed. You see the marks, the pathway of the course of the river. But it's not what we want. You see these dry river beds there. Speaking of dryness, even though there is the evidence of things, great things happening there before. Are you following me? Like what we're experiencing now in this thing of Pentecost. We had the stories, all these things. Google was based on them. They slammed into the wall. Papa again did this. But now you look at the circumstances in church today. We have these dry riverbeds. You can see the evidence of the former rain, but we are not experiencing it. So it looks dry. Are you following me? But this the psalmist now begins to pray that turn again our captivity like the streams of the south. You see, in the Middle East, in this particular place, when they go there, you see that there are these dry riverbeds. You see evidence of water that's passed there before. But there comes a starting season. There will be a deluge of rain. It's a suddenly. So they are always waiting for it. For that suddenly. So what they do is this. Is what is now said in verses 5 and 6. He says, those that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubt. But before that happens, it's going to turn, you know, it's going to make that those riverbeds flooded with rainfall water. Torrential rain. Are you following me? So that's why he said that. He says that these rains are torrential rains. Are you following me? They have come abundantly. Transforming the dry riverbeds into torrential streams. That is this dry place, these things you look at that look impossible. Ezekiel chapter 37, I think it's verse 11. When God was talking, I will put Ezekiel chapter 2 to try and experience what this place is talking about, these riverbeds. That is the type of what the body of Christ is going through today. All these promises we have been hearing about, they look dry. You have evidence, initial evidence, that they've occurred before through the initial evidence of your speaking in tongues. But you cannot see the fullness of Pentecost. We have not even seen Pentecost at the degree in which it occurred in the upper room. So it looks absolutely impossible. So this is what it looks like. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel, the church. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off. For we are cut off for our parts. But see, suddenly this rain will fall. And when it begins like a deluge. Speaks about the former and the latter rain. It just comes, And he does two basic things. Number one, he removes all obstacles in the natural. It's a very destructive rain. When it comes, he removes all obstacles. And the second thing he does is, he helps them to get the harvest of what has been sown in tears. So you can link that verse to the other verses. Where he was crying to God. He first of all described what will happen when God turns our captivity. He now links it to, look, let it be like turning the stream of his house. So when the streams are started, what happens is the rainfall comes like a deluge all of a sudden. When that suddenly occurs, it destroys every obstacle. It's going to remove strange children. All the infirmities that are holding you back, it's going to remove them. Are you following me? And then the most important thing is, it's going to help you to bring forth the precious fruit of your heart. It waters the ground of your heart. So next verse, what does it say? Next verse in verse 5. You see, these verses 5 and 6 is what you must have been doing before God turns the captivity like the streams of the south. You must have been sowing. Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. If you have not sown, by the time God turns that captivity and the rainfall comes, they are starting to bring up. Are you following me? So, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Say, he that goeth forth, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his what? Seeds with him. It's harvest time. But you must have put something in the ground. So it's going to be a removal of tears from the church, that the righteous may shine. So what is this talking about? Those that are sowing tears shall reap in joy. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7, how do you sow in tears? It says, who in the days of his flesh, when I offered all prayers and supplications, with what? Strong crying and tears. That's how you sow in tears. That's how you sow into yes, you sow into your flesh. Use the blood, the word, and the spirit. You sow into that flesh. Say you are what you shall walk by, you can reap in joy. I follow him. So those are the two things you do. That's how you sow in tears. You sow in tears by praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit daily. You can do that by joining with travel. I've already mentioned it. That's how you sow in tears. Are you following me? But those that sow to the spirit shall have the spirit reap life everlasting. So pray with all kinds of prayers. That's why it's good for us again to join the Good Morning Jesus prayers. Then the second thing is that he says that those that go forth weeping, bearing precious feet, that is, they are walking. Talks about your washing of feet, your walk in the spirit. Two things that occur. That's because about the frequent washing of feet that Pastor taught us recently. Now let's talk about the timing as I begin to round up to explain it and make it clearer. So we don't longer see just types and shadows, but let us see how it applies to us today. So we're going to look at two things. Talked about the precious seed. So how or what is the timing? How do I know that we have entered that season that God is going to do this thing? Are you following me? Now look at some scriptures to explain it. Psalm 102 verse 13. It says, God will arise and have mercy upon Zion. Let's get that. Thou shall arise and have mercy upon Zion. For what? The set time to favor has come. Yea, the set time has come. How do I know? Because how do you receive mercy? With true honesty of heart. That's why God was trying to make me see what Pastor taught us recently. He said, now when you ask for mercy, you get the blood, the life, and the power in one clean sweep. That is the favor of God. It will help us to redeem the time. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. So if you're in the midst of a temptation, what you should take time before? There's no more time. But he will do a quick walk and cut it short in righteousness. Psalm 100, let's Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. We're in that season, God has arisen to have mercy upon Zion. Are you following me? I think you got that. Say, for I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So which means when you ask for mercy, Bible says if you confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse them all unrighteous. So you can deduce that from this, there is blood there, the blood of Jesus Christ there. To wipe away, say, Lord, please have mercy on me. Do it by faith. Have mercy on me under pressure. The blood. Bible says that you are looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The life comes, and then you pray in tongues. So that is, he said, I will remember the iniquities no more. Psalm 102, verse 16. So we're in that season. So when God has now brought forth that revelation of the application of the mercy of God, are you following me? That is why we know that God has reason to have mercy upon Zion. But see what I say? Say, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear what? In his
Glory. As the scripture I want to share before we close, Psalm 94, verse 18. You see, the mercy of God is very critical for us to learn to apply and to use in this day. Psalm 94, verse 18. The psalmist was talking. He said something. He said, when I said, honesty of heart, you must say the truth to yourself in your heart. When I said, my foot what? Slipped. Thy mercy, O Lord, did what? Help me up. Always speak the truth to yourself in your heart. Don't hide. The Bible says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper. But he that confesses and forsakes shall have what? Mercy. So this is the work of mercy. The foot here speaks about your walk in the spirit. So when you are trying to do these things you've been taught, and you begin to slip up, envy hits you, adultery hits you, fornication, unforgiveness. I follow me? You must be honest about it. To the Lord and to yourselves. So when I said, Lord, my foot slipped. But I said, you walk with your feet. Said, I mercy what? Help me up. So you can be in the midst of thousands of people. Because Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. In your mind, in this regard. Have mercy on me. Instantly, the blood, the life, and the cleansing. Why? Because God has arisen to have mercy upon Zion. Satan to favor us are scum. It's a season of the favor of God, which is pouring out his mercy in abundance to help us to finish on time. So it says that precious seed, they that go for weeping, bearing precious seed. I want to expound on that. What is precious seed? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. It says, you have not been washed by corrupted sin, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the precious seed, number one. Are you with me? Put it there. Say, but with the precious blood of Lord Jesus Christ. He said, you are not redeemed by corruption like your father in the previous birth. It's about the precious what? Blood of Jesus Christ. The next precious seed is this. In the book of Luke chapter 8 verse 11, we're talking about the parable of Joshua. He said, the seed is the word. So we are talking now about the blood, the word, and the spirit. I'm just using different things to explain it. So, but I want to zero on this. He said, now the parable is this. The seed is the word. That is the precious word. But let's look at the closing from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Say, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and what? Precious promises. That by this, you might be partakers of divine nature. That is the second precious seed that God gives you. And the third thing is this. It talks about the precious ointment upon the head. Are you following me? Psalm 133, verse 2. It's all these three things, like Pastor preached a few days ago, talking about joints, bands, and ligaments. It will allow everybody to make sure that you are supplying at full capacity. Are you following me? Everybody, everyone at your level, either a captain of 10, of 50, of 100, of 1,000, you must be working optimal. All your plugs of your car must be firing. Or effective working of every part, by that which every joint supply it. So it's very easy. Lord, have mercy on me. You know, you pray in tongues. So everybody keeps on supplying at the level that, at your level of spiritual growth. Are you following me? So you see, what this is going to do is this. It's very simple. We're talking about when God turned the captivity of Zion, but like them that dream. We spoke about the perfect leadership. In Proverbs, we say the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turned it. So God is going to do what? Right now, this is where I know where we are. He's turned the hearts of the fathers to the children. And that's why it says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. All the things that I've described, the dream and all that you're going to experience, is when we start using the blood, word, and the spirit by the mercy of God, I follow in washing of feet frequently, diligently, that the fathers, they will turn their hearts. God will turn it to the children. And then the children to their hearts will turn. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6 says, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Period. They will not experience Psalm 133. Unity. Unity of the spirit. Then the anointing that God wants, it is until that happens that God will pour the ointment and will flow down to everyone onto the hem of the garments. And everybody in that particular body will get the alert of the spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's talk to God. I've tried to make it so simple. That is where we are right now. Preparation for the coming year. The coming decade. That is why the Bible says, in that time, God will arise and have mercy upon Zion.
because the set time to favor has come. But what will allow God to have mercy upon Zion? Because Zion is going to grow in honesty and humility, and they're going to learn how to use the mercy of God to clean, to load, and fire. So what you used to do, like before, when there were no cars, that would take you maybe months to walk from here to Lagos. You just fly. Pew, pew, pew. A quick walk, the Lord do, and cut it short in righteousness. So what seems impossible, it's going to be possible because God is arisen to have mercy upon us. Why? Because the set time to favor has come. So when your feet is slipping, ask for mercy. It will uphold you. Let's stand to our feet. Glorious things of thee are spoken.
Glorious things of thee are spoken. Zion, city of our God, whose word cannot be broken.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
From thee, O His own abode, on the rock of ages founded, none can shake our sure repose.
Before we pray, a thought just came to me, I'd like to share it. The Bible says that every joint must be supplying. Make sure your plugs are firing properly. If you have a car and the plug is not firing properly, what will you do? We change it. But will not be changed, will not be replaced. Are you following me? We must understand the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. He said, he planted that victory in the vineyard. And then these 3 years, I've been come and looking for fruit. So I've not found no fruit on it. He said, let's cut it down. He said, no, one more year. When that season now, that Noah opened the window of the ark. This is the window of opportunity. That's why God is pouring mercy. Mercy. Before he comes and tells Noah and his sons to come out of the ark. See the streams of living water and we'll pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
See the streams of living waters springing from eternal love. Well supplied sons and daughters, an offering of one removed. Who can change why such a river ever flows that thirst to assuage?
Grace,
quick like the Lord the giver never fails from age to age.
Let's now put one hand on our hearts and raise our hand to heaven as we respond to the Lord. Let's rededicate ourselves to these things we have been taught. Let's say, Father, we confess our sins and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. Say, Jesus, then we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure for this prayer now in Jesus' name. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the times and the seasons that we are living in which you will turn the captivity of your people that as we manifest the Spirit without measure. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace. As I use the blood, the word, and the Spirit to perfect your Lord, and also to totally submit and obey to those who have set in authority over me, so that I may partake of the bold anointing as you turn our captivity before our very eyes. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's start praying in tongues. In Jesus' name. Father, we confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood.